Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I want you to look at how Utahns reacted the last two nights. There was no rioting. There was no looting. There were no cars set on fire. There was no violence. There were vigils and prayers and people coming together to share the humanity. And that, ladies and gentlemen, I believe is the answer to this. We can return violence with violence.
What a contrast, Lee. And we really need to make a point of this.
Yep.
The George Floyd situation, which was a drug overdose made probably worse by the kind of hold the officer used on him, a hold he was absolutely trained to use and executed perfectly, a hold that the Greenville Police Department and other police departments around the country trained their officers to use. And then the week that it came out about the George Floyd killing, they suspended using it. But a combo of a drug overdose and that hold, again, standard police procedure, was whipped into something it never was. And $2 billion worth of damage later to innocent business owners and people's homes. Many of the things burned were condominiums. $2 billion. When we go through the worst thing imaginable, an attack on our free speech and the murder of civil rights icon Charlie Kirk, because that's what we're going to call him now. He is the MLK of this generation. The parallels between the two are uncanny. He was fighting for basic human rights for half the country, for the religious, for conservatives to have basic human rights like free speech. We have to fight for that now. He was doing it peacefully and he was slaughtered. And that right there could have touched off violence, but it didn't. In fact, the only reports of violence over the weekend were from the left. One guy, dressed in the same shirt that the killer wore, crashing the Charlie Kirk Memorial and trying to destroy it. So, and right now, hashtag We Are Charlie Kirk is what's trending on X. And again, there's no calls for violence from our side. There's nothing like it. Meanwhile, though, you can't say that for the left. Ilhan Omar is trending. You knew somebody was going to go first, Lee.
Yeah, usual suspects.
Usual suspects. Has posted this this audio screed calling Charlie Kirk a shocktastic terrorist. And just going off on our side for us mourning him.
Charlie Kirk's dead, and before his body got cold, the far right propped his corpse up as a cudgel for their holy war. Don't be fooled. These people don't give a single shit about Charlie Kirk. They are just using his...
Yeah, I'm going to play some of the rest of that later. But he basically went on to just absolutely lambast Charlie Kirk. Ilhan Omar reposted that, and like I said, I'll play it coming up, but it's wow.
Well, isn't she the one that said September 11th terrorist attacks was some people did some things?
Right. Some people did some things.
Yeah, 3,000 Americans died, but some people did some things.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Meanwhile, Eric Trump weighed in with something I thought pretty profound over the weekend.
You know, there's that famous quote right after Pearl Harbor, you know, I think we've just awoken a sleeping giant and filled him with terrible resolve. And it kind of rings true here. That's exactly what you did. Literally, as I was showing up to the studio, Maria, there was an older Jamaican man who came up to me in very broken English and said, Mr. Trump, I'm very sorry about Charlie Kirk. He was an amazing Christian. I am Charlie Kirk, right? It's transcended the generation of youth. Like, everybody over the last, you know, a couple days has been talking about how Charlie created the greatest youth movement. What's happened with this assassination has affected everybody. I've had employees, Maria, call me and say, my children, my 17-year-old daughter has been in her room crying. It's changed her immensely. I mean, this is transcending not only the youth generation, but also the older generations. This is a hit on our country. It's a hit on our movement. It's a hit on you know, Christianity. It's a hit on religion. It's a hit on freedom. It's you know, kind of, you know, emphasizes the dichotomy between, you know, good and evil in this country. And they truly have awoken that sleeping giant, just not within the youth vote, but really transcending everybody who's in this nation. It's had such a profound effect on this nation. And this could have been the greatest mistake these people have ever made.
Tara, the report I heard this morning that Turning Point USA has gotten 32,000 requests to start chapters. That's not people wanting to sign up. That's 32,000 chapters starting on college campuses of Turning Point USA. 32,000 requests to start chapters.
And that includes high school, too. That's why you get the numbers so high. And they only have 3,400 chapters right now. So, yes, absolutely stunning. You saw the prayer vigils all weekend long. I mean, it was incredible. 500 people showing up in California. Oh, wow. I mean, just all over the world. And the freedom march is going on in London right now against Keir Starmer, to people who just want to be able to speak on social media, to be able to be part of debates on immigration and other things, who cannot right now without a boot through their door, mm-hmm. marching with signs with Charlie Kirk's face. Marching for freedom. This is, and Glenn Beck is right about this, this is the beginning of a civil rights movement. There is an absolute parallel between MLK Jr.'s assassination. He sought basic human rights for a group of people. So did Charlie Kirk. Both did it peacefully. Both were murdered for it. Both were religious men. Both called out to God for that freedom to be restored. And both were gunned down. And that we need to begin, and that's what's going to happen from now on this show. We are going to call Charlie Kirk a civil rights hero, a civil rights leader, and a civil rights icon, because that is who he is. We need to claim the mantle of civil rights, because that is what he was fighting for. Basic human Bill of Rights protections for half the country. Now we're under attack by the left. And when they didn't win, when they couldn't win, when they couldn't silence him with the FBI and their creepy little creep squads, that go in there, you know, via Department of Homeland Security and have people censored, threaten Mark Zuckerberg with criminal persecution and prosecution for not taking down true things, as Zuckerberg told us. When they can't do that anymore, they pick up a gun. Censorship is cancellation.
Well, and if you criticize the narrative of the left, it is hate speech. And that's
right.
That's what the narrative is right now, is that they're trying to say that everything he believed in was hate speech, which is not true.
No, it wasn't true.
It doesn't matter. Truth doesn't matter to the liberal, progressive, secularist narrative.
No, it doesn't. But you know what the beauty of it is? People are hearing that he's this hate monger, and they're going and listening to things he mm-hmm. said.
And wow. And they find out that what they're being told is not true.
Exactly. And like, I've had so many people tell me over time, they've emailed me, texted me, come up to me at events. I remember one guy in particular standing in front of me, and he said, "Leno, I love your show." He said, "I was a doctrinaire liberal. I tuned into Rush Limbaugh because I wanted to hear the hate, right? I wanted to hear everything I was just told. This man just breathes hate." And he's like, not only did I not hear the hate, which was like I was shocked by, he was like, "Wait, I kind of agree with some of the things this guy's saying." Fell in love with Rush, and now he's a talk radio junkie. That process is going to repeat thousands and thousands and thousands of times with Charlie Kirk. And I want to play just really quickly, just one clip. This is the kind of thing people are going to find online.
"So I do not have hate for a group. I do not have hate for a people. I
so
hate
just
for-
so I can get it on my camera. So Instagram,
don't worry,
hi.
We got plenty of cameras, but yeah.
But yes, so you do not hate the LGBT community. Well, no, and Turning Point is not against LGBT.
No, how could I hate that which I have a heart for?
Thank you.
And I might not agree at that for some of the lifestyle choices that some people make. But of course not. And if someone said, Charlie, what's your view on marriage? I say, I believe marriage is between one man and one woman. But if you ask me, what do I have hate in my heart for somebody that doesn't choose the lifestyle that I believe that God laid out in the scriptures? Of course not.
All I can say is amen to that.
Yeah.
Amen to that. That's exactly right. You know, and I will say that our pastor did sort of address this Sunday, and he brought up Psalm 4:4, which is basically, be angry, but do not sin.
Exactly.
That's how you respond to this. You be angry. Angry is okay, but do not sin in that anger. And that's the way that we should approach this, whether it is this direct situation or whether we are talking about other issues where we have a theological, biblical disagreement. We should be angry, but we should not sin.
Meanwhile, And what's going on here, folks? This is not a political disagreement. There is no both sides, okay? The left wing, the Democrat Party especially, is going through a Marxist revolution. They want to take the rest of us with them. We do not want to go. There is no compromising with that. Well, we'll give up a little bit of our free speech, but not all of it, like in the UK. There's no compromising. There's no let's listen to each other. No, the answer is no. We're not having a Marxist revolution.
Well, you look what happened to somebody who was listening to the other side. They shot and killed him.
Exactly. And I'm going to explain why coming up. But when you see this, ladies, we're right now on Fox News, Kathy Hochul, governor of New York, endorses socialist Mamdani for New York City mayor.
Good luck with that, Kathy.
Yeah, that's a Marxist revolution right there. Yeah. That's what that is. Yeah. We cannot compromise with that. We cannot do that. We cannot speak nice words about a Marxist revolution.
The hammer and sickle has been raised in the Empire State.
Right, right. There's no compromising with that. There's no get along with that. We've got to fight it and crush it with words.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, 3 weeks, two brutal shootings, both either religious or right-wing targets. First in Minneapolis, by a guy who wanted to kill Trump. Doctrinaire liberal, transgender. What are the odds of this, okay? Both shooters, Tyler Robinson, and the transgender shooter who shot up at Catholic church full of children who were praying. Both of them had transgender partners who were furries. What are the odds of that? 3 weeks, two shooters. Both LGBTQ. Both have partners who are both transgender, use they, them pronouns, and identify as furries. If you don't know what that is, that's a person who wants to be known as an animal, believes that they are an animal, identifies as an animal, a furry. What are the odds of that? Folks, this is oddly specific. Is it not? And that is why this morning the FBI is investigating whether there were groups that either helped or liberal groups, left-wing groups that knew about this, because there's a lot of evidence that was possible, including another transgender individual who posted a song last month called Charlie Kirk Dead at 31. This was a person from the Utah area. Many posts put up before the assassination saying things like, you know, Charlie Kirk's in town tomorrow, talking about look for something big to go down. And a lot of this buzz was in the transgender community. One transgender group pulled down its account, shut it down. It's weird. But folks, here's what the left doesn't know, because their media would never tell them this. Since the beginning of the year, transgender Antifa-oriented groups have either killed or attempted to kill Border Patrol agents, not once, not twice, but three times. It started with the Zizian cult, which is an Antifa-oriented, Antifa-affiliating transgender male group, linked to six killings in three states. You don't know this if you don't get your news from Fox. Mainstream media not going to tell you this. They called themselves the Zizians. And what got them what little national attention they've gotten was the killing of a U.S. Border Patrol agent on January 20th in Vermont. They gunned him down on the highway. Oh, you didn't know about that. Yeah, gunned him down on the highway. Then there was another attempted murder by another leftist in June. In July, you could find this in the New York Post, headline, "Worse than Antifa." Inside the new breed of ultra-extremist groups dedicated to chaos, violence, and murder. Now, folks, this article is a month old. It's before the Charlie Kirk killing. The group, led by Benjamin Song, a member of the Antifa militant groups Elm Fork John Brown Gun Club and Socialist Rifle Association, led a group of 10 radicals, eight of whom were found living in a squalid transgender commune in an armed ambush at an ICE detention center in Alvarado, Texas. Do you remember this? They fired their guns and set off fireworks to get the border agents to rush outside so they could execute them. It was a off-duty police officer who's doing security. He rushed outside and they shot him. Full of bullets, actually. He survived, thank God. So, folks, this is a pattern. This is not a one-off. This is not a, hey, just one guy. Yeah, don't blame us. And yet this morning, the left is enraged because Donald Trump has blamed the left for the Kirk assassination. Folks, it's assassination after assassination after assassination after assassination. It does not end. It goes on and on and on. And folks, this year it's been one a month by a leftist hitting a political target. Many of these targets, we've had Tesla dealerships, we've had shootings into Tesla dealerships, we've had Democrats refusing to condemn that while practically laughing at it. And now we've got the attempted murder of Border Patrol agents again and again and again by the left. Sometimes with the protection of the police in LA and Portland, who will not respond. In Portland, they do not respond when ICE agents call because night after night after night, they are surrounding the ICE building. And the federal government has to keep snipers on top of the ICE building to keep them from killing the Border Patrol agents, the ICE agents. Mostly they fire rubber bullets, mostly. Sometimes they use tear gas to try to get them, repel them from the building so the ICE agents can come and go. This is a pattern. It's well established. And it's accelerating. We've gone from once a month to about once every 2 to 3 weeks, Minnesota being a great example of it. And you know what we're going to find out? More people knew about this. There were a lot more people who knew about this. There was buzz on this in left-wing circles. You could see it from the posts. You could see it from the posts. And you know what drives it, folks? I want to play this. Ilhan Omar is trending right now on X because she posted this. So this is her giving the squad stamp of approval to the. This is what the Democrats really think. They just can't say it right now, but they're dying to. This is what she posted.
Charlie Kirk's dead, and before his body got cold, the far right propped his corpse up as a cudgel for their holy war. Don't be fooled. These people don't give a single about Charlie Kirk. They are just using his death to further their Christo-fascist agenda. I'm seeing all these heartfelt statements coming from Democratic politicians and celebrities applauding Kirk as some bastion of free speech and debate. Kirk was a reprehensible human being. He enacted his political agenda by preying upon weak-minded people. He took complex socioeconomic issues and simplified them by pointing fingers at outgroups, demonizing those groups, and then sicking his massive following on them. He was a stochastic terrorist, an adamant transphobe. He denied the genocide happening in Palestine. He believed in the subjugation of women, and with his last dying words, he was spewing racist dog whistles. Charlie Kirk was Dr. Frankenstein, and his monster shot him through the neck. And all of that said, none of us should want to live in a society where these types of killings become the...
His monster shot him through the neck. That's what she tweeted. So it's on. Here we go. That's who they are. They wanted this. They've egged on a following, a base they know is mentally ill. 50% of the women self-report to Gallup being mentally ill. Liberal women, a little over 30% of the men. You just jack them up on fascist, Hitler, fascist, Nazi, Hitler, fascist. We're living through, a Nazi takeover our country. People going to pick up guns. They know it. The rest takes care of itself.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We must stop calling Charlie.
Glenn Beck nails it. talk show host, famous for a long time, how we need to talk about Charlie Kirk.
We must stop calling Charlie anything other than a civil rights leader. We need to plant that stake deep. It is time that we point out that what he was doing was not politics. What he was doing was trying to stand up for people's civil rights, to show people how a civilization is not a civilization unless you can have a dialogue with people who are diametrically opposed to you. That's our civil right, our right to free speech. And that gunman was trying to take that right away from him and from you and everyone else. Shut up. You will be silenced. You will not say those things. And there has been a force in this country to try to convince people that you don't have a right, that you have a responsibility to silence others. You don't. In this country, one of our main civil rights is we can express ourselves the way we feel we need to express ourselves. But make no mistake, Charlie Kirk was a civil rights leader as much as Martin Luther King. I'm waiting to see the first city that will make a Charlie Kirk Boulevard. Phoenix, you should be the one. There's a Martin Luther King Boulevard. There should be a Charlie Kirk Boulevard. Charlie Kirk was a civil rights leader, and we must take that for him and own that, because all of these so-called civil rights leaders, Black Lives Matter, that was a money scam that had nothing to do with anything other than money and power. Charlie was actually fighting for civil rights.
Amen. That's exactly who he was. Civil rights for half the country. Just as MLK fought for rights for people who did not fully have rights in America, their Bill of Rights, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, the Third Amendment, Charlie Kirk fought for us because those rights were being taken away. I want to play this out, folks. This is kind of remarkable. You know, the casings on one of the bullets that was not fired, that were found with the gun, wrapped in that black towel. What was written on the casing? This is the governor of Utah, Spencer Cox.
Inscriptions on the three unfired casings read, "Hey, fascist!" exclamation point, "Catch!" exclamation point.
Hey, fascist, catch, fascist. It's an interesting choice of words. Can't imagine where he got that word. Actually, no. Here is a montage of Democrat leaders, Chuck Schumer, AOC, Nancy Pelosi, Kamala Harris, Rachel Maddow, using the word fascist, the same word the shooter put on his bullet that he intended to kill Charlie Kirk with. He only didn't fire it because he was successful with his early shot.
Let me ask you tonight, do you think Donald Trump is a fascist?
Yes, I do.
This is what kicking the shit out of fascism looks like.
Try to prevent the spread of the lawlessness and the fascist chaos that's been unleashed against us.
So when we say Donald Trump is a fascist, fascism, a huge component of fascism, is uniting racism, bigotry, a form of racist nationalism.
We are now living in a fascist dictatorship.
Mm-hmm. We are worried about potential rise of fascism in this country. We're worried about our democracy falling to an authoritarian and potentially fascist form of government.
Not only to roll over to Donald Trump's will, but to roll over our democracy and allow him to take over this country as a fascist dictator.
When fascism isn't just coming, it's already here.
The former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Mark Milley, said, "No one has ever been more dangerous to this country than Donald Trump, and he is a fascist to his core."
Huh. Tell me again, what did he write on a bullet?
Inscriptions on the three unfired casings read, "Hey, fascist!" exclamation point, "Catch!" exclamation point.
Okay. I'm sure there's no connection of any kind. Why, we should just go ahead and ignore that. No, they got what they wanted. What did the other bullet say? Bella Chow on a rifle cartridge. probably the most important rallying song for Antifa militants for decades. In the 2019 Tacoma Antifa gunman cited it in his manifesto before carrying out a deadly shooting and explosive attack at the ICE facility. They have been attacking ICE facilities for years as we pretend this is a one-off shooting. It's not a one-off or a two-off. It's not even a 10-off. One of the Los Angeles Antifa ringleaders, a man by the name of Vishal Singh, he has been repeatedly banned for X for his point-blank calls for deadly violence. What did he name his company? He's very well known in the Antifa movement. He's one of the leaders of it. What did he name his company? Bella Chow Cinema. Andy Ngo, who has been, he's a reporter, been studying Antifa for many years. They gave him a brain bleed with the beating they dealt him. Writes, it's hard for me to overstate the significance of the Charlie Kirk assassin suspect putting the lyrics of Bella Chow on the rifle cartridge. This is probably the most important rallying song to Antifa militants for decades. Here's just some examples of things Vishal Singh, the Antifa leader whose own company is called Bella Chow, tweeted before his account was suspended for inciting violence. If you are not ready to be violent in defense of transgender and non-binary lives, then you are no ally. You are simply an ally to those who wish to eliminate us. Fascists have to be resisted violently. Nothing else has ever worked, ever. Your lukewarm acceptance of queer existence is lethal, period. Fight. This is who this guy is referring to. This is Antifa's battle cry. It has been for a very long time. And folks, this isn't the first one or even the fourth one. Do you remember when the Chicago mayor, Lori Lightfoot at the time, tweeted that LGBTQ people needed to pick up guns? And then a man in a dress did. And he went and he killed seven at a 4th of July parade in the Chicago area wearing a dress. Weeks before, he had posted pictures of himself with his hair dyed pink in pigtails, looking like a girl, dressed as a girl. We were told, no, no, he only had the dress on to blend in with the crowd. You think a man in a dress helps you blend in? Oh, nobody will notice that dude in a dress. Everyone's going to look at the dude in the dress. He wanted to be looked at. He wanted folks to know I'm a transgender shooter. But it's Chicago PD, so they cover up and lie for the left. Folks, that was during the last Trump administration. This has been going on for a long time. We've had three Antifa attacks this year just on ICE, just on the Border Patrol. One of them fatal. They executed him in Vermont. You know that? In January. An Antifa cell of transgender men. So again, I'm going to end this segment where I started it. What are the odds that the last two horrific shooters in this country, in Minneapolis and at Catholic Church, and then Charlie Kirk, the last two were done by LGBTQ individuals who had furries as partners with they, them pronouns? I mean, what are the odds? Folks, this is a movement and it's got to be stopped. Folks, we're in that hold your breath phase where we see, hey, is this a new hip hop assassination thing going to catch on with the biggest sheep on the planet? The left? They're like drones. You tell them, hey, wear a mask on your face, even though it's got big holes in the side. Yeah, like the bacteria can't get through. Oh, okay. Hey, pick up a gun and go kill our political enemies, fascist. That is why it is so critical that Robin Newberry lose his job at Clemson. Why? We got one or two things keeping this from taking off on the left where they just go out and start gunning us down. And that is fear. How do we keep this from spreading? We keep people from readily talking about it, praising it, egging it on social media. How do you do that? They learn very quickly the penalty for that, for calling for more killings, is firing. And you're going to lose your six-figure salary. And that is why Robin Newberry must go at Clemson. This is about saving lives. This isn't even about vengeance. This isn't even about, hey, this man is consuming a six-figure salary paid for by your tax dollars. Those things are infuriating. But we got bigger problems. We need to stop people like Robin Newberry, at least make them pause and think, I'm going to lose my job if I go online and I call for more killings, because that's what he did. Listen to this. He is a Clemson employee, posted this on his X account. In a world full of Charlie Kirk's and Brian Thompson's, Brian Thompson is the now dead, assassinated CEO of United Healthcare, killed by Luigi Mangione. In a world full of Charlie Kirk's and Brian Thompson's, be a Tyler Robinson or a Luigi Mangione. Dang. And you've got the leadership of Clemson saying free speech? Well, are we going to have an enterprising campus debate on whether conservatives deserve to die? Is that where we are now? He tweets again, F these Nazis. They stood by and said nothing when Democrats were assassinated, but now that one of their own, a cancer on our Constitution that has been thankfully been ameliorated, that means done away with, they lose their starts with S and ends with T. So far, Clemson will not buckle. Two professors and an employee have lauded, been excited about the Charlie Kirk killing, all but called for more. Clemson has suspended temporarily just one of them. Not good enough. By the way, here's the crazy part. Online, Tyler Robinson is trending on X, and a lot of the posts are about Clemson protecting these people. Folks, they've got to be fired so they will stop talking about murdering us so that this thing doesn't gain steam. We are talking about saving lives, and we need the Clemson University faculty and the president of Clemson to step up and fire these people now. Simply say it with me. Killing people you disagree with is not acceptable. Simple concepts. We need the leadership of Clemson to grasp them.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.